By the standards of most people, King Solomon was the most magnificent king to ever live. He had it all. Should have been the happiest of men. He was, as you know, the son of King David, the psalmist of Israel. King Solomon had unimaginable wealth, wonderful food, thousands of the finest of horses and servants and vineyards and fish ponds and gardens, a magnificent palace. And God had graced him with supernatural wisdom, unlike any man who had ever lived. And as a result, fame throughout the world. Here surely must be a blessed man, contented, happy. And yet, as Solomon discusses all of these things, all of these blessings, if you will, in his life, he concludes in the book of Ecclesiastes that they are all vanity of vanities. They're meaningless, they're empty, they're a grasping at wind and unsatisfying. Because happiness, contentedness, blessedness, true joy, spiritual satisfaction can never be found in the things of the world. Physical things do not satisfy the soul. Only God can. So Solomon concludes in the book of Ecclesiastes, "Remember then your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember to fear God and keep His commandments." You cannot fill that God-shaped vacuum in your heart with anything but God. But like Solomon, we try. Your friends, your neighbors, family members, perhaps even yourself, try. Even though it always fails and brings disillusionment and despair, you will never satisfy your heart with the things of the world. Genuine happiness, that true blessedness of the soul that Jesus is talking about in the Beatitudes, only comes from God and a right relationship with Him. This is what the Lord is pointing to in the Beatitudes as He describes the character, the heart, the nature of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And in the process, Jesus turns the thinking of the world on its head. The world in general thinks, blessed are they that are rich. Blessed are the great and the powerful. Blessed are those who spend their days enjoying the good things of life without a care and without restraint. And while we condemn the wealthy industrialist as greedy and materialistic, we idolize the carefree, self-indulgent rich like movie stars. What irony. In the Beatitudes, Jesus corrects this error, giving us a heavenly and totally different understanding. Those who are truly blessed are not the ones the world thinks are. What characterizes the heart of those who are Christ's disciples? Verse 3, Matthew 5. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." The world tries to come to God in a variety of ways. After all, the world says there are many roads that lead to heaven, many different paths, but they all end up in heaven. The problem is, all of these different roads are filled with self, filled with pride. Generally, the world approaches God as an equal. He helps me out when I need Him, and I do some things that will please Him and make Him happy. And in the end, we're both content, we're both happy, and all is well. It's important for us to understand what Jesus means when He speaks of the poor in spirit. It is nothing like the world thinks. We might envy the wealthy. And surely there are some advantages to having plenty of money. But the Jews of Jesus' day actually thought that worldly riches indicated God's blessing. That is, those who were truly righteous, those that walked with God and pleased God, would be blessed of God with material possessions. And as you think about it in the Old Testament, you see that there were many great righteous men who were materially blessed. Abraham and Isaac, and think of Joseph or Daniel, or David and Solomon, all wealthy, blessed of God. Think of Job. Through his trials and afflictions that he endured, and then God blessed him. And we read at the end of the book of Job, the latter days of Job were more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. They didn't keep track of a bank account. They kept track of herds and cattle, and he was immensely prosperous. Surely material, worldly prosperity from God upon a righteous man. Jesus does not, as some teach today, say that those poor in the world's goods are thereby blessed of God. As if there's some kind of righteousness in being penniless. But what Jesus does do is correct the notion equating wealth with righteousness. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, Jesus meets with the rich young ruler. And in the conversation that takes place, we learn that this young man walks in obedience to God and he keeps all of the law. But Jesus, of course, goes to his heart. And he says, well, if you want to be perfect, Jesus says to this rich man, go, sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. The scripture tells us the young man went away sorrowful, because he was not willing to part with his wealth, even to obtain eternal life. Jesus then used this as an opportunity to instruct his disciples. And we read in Matthew 19, verse 23, Jesus says to his disciples, assuredly, I say to you that it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And here is what shows you the error of the Jewish thinking of that day. The disciples respond to Jesus with astonishment. And they ask this question, well, if that is true, if the rich are not saved, who in the world can be? If the most spiritual and blessed of God are not saved, what hope is there for the rest of us? regardless of what the world thinks, or what your neighbor or co-worker thinks, no one can ever be saved by his own resources, no matter how vast they are. Rather, those resources tend to be a stumbling block to faith, a stumbling block to a right relationship with God, according to Jesus. Now, today there may actually be the opposite perspective, thinking that those who are in poverty, that is, the literal poor, are somehow special and blessed of God. There are some that even translate this verse, "Blessed in spirit are the poor." But of course, we all know poverty does not guarantee spirituality any more than wealth does. The poor can be as proud and arrogant and sinful and ungodly in their poverty as the rich in their prosperity. Some people are proud because they're poor. Most people think that they'd be happy if they were rich. But Jesus isn't talking about bank accounts. He's talking about the heart. He's talking about humility of the soul before a holy and a righteous God. Jesus also is not talking about those that depreciate themselves. You've run across people like this. Somehow thinking a grandiose humility commends them to God. We might call it false humility. People who glory in their low position. There's an old story of a priest who was considered by others rather inept and incompetent, really a disgrace. So his fellow priests circulated a petition to have him removed, and somehow the petition was sent to this fellow. And he carefully read it, studied the petition, and then he signed it and sent it on to the bishop. When Jesus speaks of poor in spirit, he's not talking about this kind of false humility, this groveling, a pride of how low I am, how poor I am. I'm a nobody and I'm worthless. This pride and lowliness is not poverty of spirit. Well, what then does Jesus mean when he speaks of the poor in spirit? The New Testament uses three different words that are translated poor. There is penes. It's the word that is used of a day laborer. It's one who works and gets the bare minimum, barely surviving. Today we might call it low income or the working poor. In Christ's day, one would go labor in the fields and at the end of the day would get paid. And on his way home would use that pay to buy food. Another word that we find in the New Testament is Pentecost. It's a word used of the widow. You recall she came to the temple and she put in, depending on your translation, two mites or two pennies, all that she had. It's the idea of one who is needy has a little bit, but not much. The third word that is used is petakos. It's the more common word in the New Testament. It's the one who has to crouch down. It's one who is low and looking up, begging to receive handouts and alms. It's a word for the destitute, the hopelessly poor. This is the word that's used of Lazarus. Recall in Luke chapter 16. And Jesus told the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And in this story, Jesus says there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate. crouching down and begging. And this word beggar that Jesus uses is the same word. It's the same word that Jesus uses here in Matthew 5:3. Blessed, Jesus says, is the spiritual beggar. Blessed is the one who recognizes his utter spiritual poverty. The one who realizes he is completely destitute spiritually, who has nothing to offer God. It's the one without hope spiritually, unless God shows grace. Or as Micah 6:8 puts it, what does the Lord require of you? To walk humbly before your God. The poor in spirit are not those who lack worldly possessions, but those who are humble and recognize that they lack spiritual possessions, that they are spiritually in poverty, that recognize that before God, I have nothing. Indeed, I am nothing. Now, some refer to this as worm theology. Isaac Watts, the great poet and hymn writer, expressed it this way in a hymn. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? And he got it exactly right. Theologically, we call this total depravity. Job expressed this poverty of spirit as well. After devastation came down upon him, he said in Job 1:21, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Being poor in spirit that recognizes God owes me nothing. And I owe God everything, but have nothing to give Him. There is nothing in my life, nothing that I have, nothing that I do that commends me to God. Rather, I'm totally unworthy of God's goodness. In fact, I am worthy of judgment and wrath and death. How can a holy, righteous, good God have anything to do with me, a wretched sinner? Being poor in spirit is the attitude expressed by the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. He says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And then he goes on and says, for that very reason, I was shown mercy. The poor in spirit are those who look at God and to some extent see and understand His absolute holiness and righteousness and goodness, and recognize that there is nothing they could possibly do to be worthy to approach Him. The poor in spirit are those who see themselves as God sees them, unworthy sinners, deserving of judgment, like a beggar, crying out for mercy, pleading simply for His grace, His forgiveness, His goodness. Paul reminds the Philippian believers of the time he was confident before God in his own worthiness. He writes, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. like most people in the world. The Apostle Paul was confident that he could hold his own against a holy God until God blinded him with a brilliant light from heaven and literally knocked him off his high horse and changed his heart and brought him to repentance. And Paul came to see the poverty of his soul in spite of his worldly achievements. And then he writes in Philippians 3:4, those things which were gained to me, those I have counted loss for Christ. And he came to recognize his spiritual poverty before the living God, and that he was nothing but a wicked, rebellious sinner, deserving of death, but rejoicing in grace. The poor in spirit are those who understand that man is not the measure, that they are not accepted because they are more moral than their neighbor, but recognize instead how far short they come of God's glory and of his perfect righteousness, and that they are indeed utterly lost, hopelessly lost, apart from God's grace in Christ. Jesus told a parable that illustrates this kind of attitude in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. And Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, those that were not poor in spirit, trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men, Jesus said, went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, like the tax collector, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Well, the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus adds this comment, I tell you, this man, that is the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. The poor in spirit are those who have come to understand that they continually place themselves above God, filled with pride and arrogance, not loving Him with all their being, with all their heart and soul and mind and strength, as God commands us to. The poor in spirit understand the reality that they are spiritually bankrupt, and so look to God as their only hope and to Christ as their only Savior. This is the heart. This is the attitude. This is the character of those who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Charles Wesley articulated this attitude perfectly in the hymn, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Just and holy is thy name, God. I am all unrighteousness, false, full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. To be poor in spirit is to recognize your absolute spiritual poverty, that you are lost and hopeless. You are helpless apart from Jesus Christ. Crying to God in the words of the psalmist David, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Psalm 51. To be poor in spirit is to have the attitude of the prophet Isaiah. He sees in Isaiah chapter 6 the Lord high and lifted up, exalted in glory and majesty, sitting upon his throne. And Isaiah responds, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Have you this morning come to see your spiritual poverty? Have you come to see that you are a sinner with absolutely no hope apart from a holy God showing you undeserved grace through Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord of glory? Jesus says that if this is true, you are blessed of God, and yours is the kingdom of heaven.